Sister Moore over there on the piano. I don't see her over there too often, but it was good to see her. Amen. You have a gift. I believe you should use it. Amen. It's good when someone is away from the church. Like Sister Brown, she's away visiting her son and grandbabies. We have somebody that can fill in and play. Amen. We don't have that problem here at Rhema. Lack of musicians. Train your children to play the piano. I know that's what I'm going to do with mine. Train them. Raise them up. Play an instrument. Amen. It'll help them more than one way. Amen. Amen. I am thankful to be able to stand among God's people and preach God's word. Amen. I am so thankful. Pray for Minister Cora. She's in Dallas, Texas. They have a flood down there, so she's down there. I believe she was dropping off her grandchild or daughter or whomever. But please keep her lifted up in prayers. That I was told that they had flood waters down there. Amen. We do have a word on this morning. Amen. How many of you are ready to hear from heaven? Amen. Turn, if you will, to St. John, the 11th chapter. I'm going to read the first three verses. And when you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. Vacation is over for me. It's time to get to work. Amen. I enjoyed my little time, but it's time to get to work. Amen. Are we all there? Reading from the King James Version, so your reading is going to be slightly different. 11th verse, the first verse. 11th chapter, the first verse. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Amen. For the reading of God's word. Amen. I wanted you to take your seat, but I want to read one more verse. And it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Amen. Jesus hears of Lazarus' death. What I want to talk to you about this morning is that we need to trust God even when it don't make sense. Even when it don't make sense. There are two sisters that love Jesus, Mary and Martha. We know from this scripture that he spent a lot of time in their house. We know that Martha may have fixed a few meals and probably, you know, more than probably Mary did. We know that in all the different relationships that there was a special relationship between Jesus and Lazarus. Kind of like some bonding, you know, when you have fellowship over to the house, you know, you eat together, but then you kind of break off And then you go, everybody has their little conversations going here, but, you know, there was a special love that I believe that those two shared. They kind of broke off and kind of went somewhere and just kind of talked, where Jesus can kind of kick back and relax and get a little rest and relaxation, you know. So, and these two sisters know that Jesus loved Lazarus. They were close buddies. And I want to say this, you know, I know we talked about how Peter, James, and John was in that inner circle of Jesus. They were close. But I believe that these three, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, was just as close as that inner circle of Jesus. And keep in mind, remember, these aren't just followers or needy people. These are people that have demonstrated that Jesus is enough for them. He's their all in all. They are believers. They care, and they know he cares for them. So these are not just needy people. These are followers of him. And so the solution is they take their problem to Jesus. They took their problem to him. That's what we're supposed to do. When you are followers of Christ, you take your problems to the Lord. So they took their problem that they were dealing with to the Lord. So let me get you, you need to understand this. Lazarus didn't just have a common cold. We ain't talking about that kind of sickness. We talking about hospice, you know. We ain't talking about just a common cold here where he just sniffing and coughing on everybody and need some Father John, or, you know, we ain't talking about that. He was deadly ill. So they sent the word to Jesus about Lazarus. You need to come see your friend. He's in some trouble. But, you know, assuming Jesus would rush to his friend's side and heal him. So how does Jesus respond to his faithful followers who are his closest and intimate friends? In verse 4 and 6, 4 to 6, it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abound 2 days still in the same place where he was. Stayed 2 days. Now, this is somebody that he loved. This is somebody that he cared about. Stayed two days. Didn't rush. Isn't that something? I would like to believe that if someone told me that something is going on in my family, that I would rush to their side. I'm not going to tarry here. I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and see about my loved ones. That's what I would do. See, when you love someone, you rush to their side. You don't waste time. Jesus chose to wait 2 days. Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death. In other words, what God is saying is, this situation is God ordained, God timed, God orchestrated sickness. In other words, he's in control of this. I have a 3-year-old daughter. She was summoned to go to the back room and she said, I'm working on something. She said, I'm doing something. When she was told to go to the back room, she was like, I'm doing, okay, hold on, wait a minute, I'm doing something. 3 years old has this mind to say, I'm doing something. I thought about Jesus when we calling and summoning him to come to us, and Lord is saying, I'm working on something.
I know you want me right now. I know you're in need of me right now. I see the situation, but I'm working on something. Said, I'm working on something. My three-year-old daughter even has the mind to say, I'm working on something. In other words, she's saying, give me a minute. Give me a minute. So in other words, this is orchestrated by God. It will not end the way you think it's going to end. In fact, he has a very specific purpose. This has a purpose because it's God ordained and God orchestrated and God timed for the Son of Man, Son of God, to be glorified. In other words, glorify has the ideal of a reputation. God's destiny for your life. Keep that word in mind. Destiny for your life will come to pass. We don't realize how much God is in control. God already has the solution to every problem that you'll ever face. God is in complete control, orchestrating it all. And I mean, think about this for a moment. Let me paint this picture for you. Imagine you call 911 and they say, and you're in need of some help right now. You dial 911 and they said, okay, we're going to send somebody in 2 days. That's what this sounds like. They're sending for Jesus and he delays. 911. When you call them, they say, what is your emergency? What is your emergency when you dial 911? Here it is. Their emergency was that their brother is deadly ill. He's sick. Come see about him. So what Jesus does, he didn't do it in their time. He didn't say, all right, Mary, I'll be there. All right. Oh, man. Or do what my daughter did. It was hilarious. You all should have seen this. It was a picture-perfect moment where several times, if you know my daughter like we know her, it's unbelievable what she does at the age of 3. But there's one particular occasion. There's several occasions, but this is just one particular where she was summoned again to the back, and she was called to come back there. And my wife called her name several times, and she heard, you know, she's a woman. She heard. She can hear, you know, she's real good. Hear through walls. So she heard my wife call her several times. My daughter got to the point. She said, oh, my gosh. So she went on back there to the back to see what's my wife wanted. But for her to have that attitude, oh my gosh, as if you're rushing her. You're on her time. You're invading her privacy, her time, her self time, whatever. But Jesus didn't do that. In his own time, he said to his disciples, in his own time, let's go back to Judea. They said a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you there. And you want to go back? Notice they said, you want to go back. They didn't say, we're going back. See, what I'm saying is some folks are with you up until a certain point. When you're talking about something dangerous, I ain't doing that. No, I ain't in that one. But they were like, don't tell me you going back there. Jesus gives a quick picture. He answers. Instead of with the real direct answer, he says, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees this world's light. It's when he walks by night that he stumbles, for there is no light. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. In other words, what Jesus is saying, I had to summarize that I didn't want to get too deep, but what he was saying is, I'm the light of the world. You're walking with me. When you're walking with me, you're in the light. Or in other words, also, I can take that and say that he was also saying there is work to be done. And then that reply was said, Lord, well, if you say he's asleep, then he's doing well then. And then Jesus had to say to them, let me break it down to you. He's dead. Okay, because they wasn't getting it. They wasn't getting it. Yeah, we say sleep, dead. But let me say, Lazarus is dead, y'all. Jesus purposely stays away. And so the situation went from bad to worse. And what happened? When it went from bad to worse, it went to what? Impossible. How many of you had a situation that was bad? Then it went to worse. And then it went to impossible. This is a situation that the Lord has allowed this to get to. It was bad. Bad meaning that it's not as bad as I want it to be. Then it went to, it's worse now. Now it went to impossible. I mean, here's what I'm saying. If you're sick, bad, a doctor can give you some medicine. You feel better. I see a lot of people. They got a headache. I need, y'all got some Aleve. You got some something that some Tylenol that will help me for my headache. Get a headache. You get a pill. Pop that in your mouth. So, or you can go to somebody and pray for you. You can do that. When you're dead, you're dead. We don't have a more difficult situation than that. That's impossible. That's an impossible situation. So now Jesus said, okay, this is all orchestrated. We learned from earlier, Jesus says, now, let's go back. In other words, it's time now. The situation, basically what Jesus is saying, has turned to impossible. In other words, that no one else can do this but God. Because anybody can say, oh, all they did was just, you know, told him to, you know, he was asleep or he got up or he passed out, something like that. But the fact that he was gone that amount of time lets you know he's dead. He's dead. So Jesus says, when you are walking normally, there are 12 hours in a physical day, and if you walk in the light, you don't stumble. But if you walk in night, you will fall down. He was saying, I am the light of the world. So no matter what it looks like, as long as you're in my will, nothing can happen to you. And when he said to the disciples, let's go back, and they said, oh, no, we ain't going back. They're talking about stoning you. We ain't trying to get involved in that. Sometimes God will, sometimes things will sound scary that he will ask us to do. You want, and here's what I'm saying. Let me put it to you in 2016. You want me to give the first portion of my time when I don't have enough time? You want me to give you the first portion of my money when I don't have enough money? God is, all he's trying to do is to see if you trust him. That's all he's doing. See, folks, nowadays, we don't have enough time. But we got time to sit in front of the TV. We got time to talk on the phone. We got time to just lay on the couch and do nothing. But we don't have time. So when he got to the situation where the people he loves are asking him for help, he delays his help. He delays his response. Jesus now goes back to them. He's going back. Remember, Jesus wanted to demonstrate the power of God. So on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. He waited 2 days. Then Jesus, he found that he had laid in the grave for 4 days already. So he's been dead. So he waits 2 days, and then there's some time of travel, and now he gets there, it's been 4 days. So it went from bad to worse to now it's impossible. He's gone 4 days. So Lazarus has been in the grave. So she's been through, Martha, she's been through all of this, these emotions, and then she hears Jesus is coming, and she runs to him. And her first question is, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't be dead. Let me bring this to you in 2016. If you had been on my time schedule, when I called you, when I asked you to come the first time, he wouldn't be in this situation now. In other words, Lord, if you was on my agenda, he wouldn't be in this situation. See, we get mad when folks don't do things when we want them to do it. We get mad when folks don't do things on time. We get mad when folks don't do things according to our schedule. Then we start, let me just paraphrase this for you. I'm just trying to read into this, and I'm just trying to understand Martha's point. What she's saying is that you've been over my house, eating my cooking, sleeping in my house, on my bed or on my couch, and I asked you to do this one thing for me, and you're going to take your time. And that's how folks do it. They play it out real plain for you. They say, basically what she's trying to do is get them told. You're going to take your time. I asked you to do something, and this is what you give me? Now he's dead. Now it's impossible. Bad situation. Eating up my cooking, smacking and all, carrying on. Ain't washing no dishes. Ask you to tell Mary to help me come in here, and you didn't even do nothing. You told me I was trouble over a lot of things. Now I'm asking you to do something. Now I can't get no help in here. In other words, she told the Lord, you looking at me like I'm crazy. Yeah, she said to him, you ain't going to talk back to me. And so, she's frustrated. She's mad. And I believe Jesus looked right into her. Looked into her eyes. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Yeah, I heard one of your messages. I heard your sermon. I heard the theology that you gave that on the last day we're all going to rise again. I heard that before. I know he's going to rise again. But when Jesus looked into her eyes, he said, I'm the resurrection. You're looking at the resurrection. Make it plain to her. Sometimes our situation goes from bad to worse. Jesus is saying, I am all you need, Martha. I am the resurrection. I am life. I will orchestrate your situations, your circumstance in your life, and I will purposely put you in impossible situations to get you to the point where you can come to me and depend upon me with a level of desperation. God likes it when you come to him and you ask him to help you. So what you really need, Martha, is me. This is what you need. Instead of just what I can do for you, you need me. Seek me. Until it's impossible, you can get bailed out of any situation. But not a day dead, not 2 days dead, not 3 days dead, 4 days dead. Lazarus is about as dead as he's going to get. God will take you through some times like that where your situation is impossible. And then after you die, Jesus will do what he can do in your life. After you die to your own agenda, your own time, your own thing. God wants you to die to yourself so he can move in and do what he needs to do. Sometimes we got to get rid of our own selfish desires. Man, we got to stop looking at other folks and look at ourselves. I am so tired of people looking at somebody else and want to tell them about them, but they're not looking at themselves. God is saying you need to look at yourself, die to your own agenda, die to your own selfishness, die to your own time and all of that. It ain't about you. It's about me. God will allow some things to go from bad to impossible until you die to yourself, until you die to your agenda, and to your demands. Y'all know people got demands out there. You have to know your situation in your life is God ordained. God time, God orchestrated sickness is there for a reason. It's there for a testimony. There was things that I didn't understand in my life, on my job. I didn't understand it, but then I had somebody to say to me, don't you realize that God has you in a safety net right now? You don't need to be raising sin right now. The only thing you need to be doing is keeping your mouth shut on the job and praising God. What he was saying was, you're in a safety net right now. They ain't bothering you, or they know. So what are you complaining about? Be happy where you are. You're in a safety net. Some of us don't realize God got us in our safety net. He got us in the safety net. But we don't like the safety net. We want to get out of that and see what else we can get. But God got you right where he wants you. Everything is ordained by God. God time. That's all he was trying to show people. I'm not worried about that. I know what God can do. In other words, with Jesus, I know what God can do. I know he can raise him up. I know if he says his name, he can come out of that grave. Delayed for a reason. God has a purpose for your life. God is saying, in other words, God is saying, you, who can stop my plan? Who is more powerful than me? Who can make a mistake so big that I can't forgive it, or have a problem so large that I can't solve it, or a dream so great that I can't bring it to pass? God's plan cannot be stopped by a bad break. All the forces of darkness can't keep you from your destiny. Sometimes we think because we have made mistakes and we're not where we want to be in life, we must have stopped God's plan. You're not that powerful to do that. First of all, you may have made some mistakes, but it wasn't a surprise to God like it would have been to me. God's grace and mercy is already present. So shake off the guilt and move forward. Nothing that you've done or haven't done has canceled your destiny. It's going to happen. You're not powerful enough to stop God's plan. I don't know who told you that. I don't know where you're getting that from, but wherever you're getting it from or whoever told you that, don't talk to them no more. God has the final say. Nothing can snatch you out of God's hands. No accident or a crazy person can stop God's plan. God is in complete control. You need to get this down into your soul. He is in complete control of your life. God is working behind the scenes, arranging things in your favor. All you got to do is open up your mouth and continue to praise God. God is working behind the scenes to work things out for you. Did y'all hear what the minister said on Wednesday night? He said, you know, be careful with dream killers. You're going and talking to people about your dream, and you're going and telling them about what you're going to do, and then you leave them discouraged. Why? Because you ran your mouth out to somebody you shouldn't have said something to. There are some things that you shouldn't even say to people. As much as I would like to share things with people, because that's just what we do, I can't, because you don't understand the mind of God. God may have me to do something crazy, and you say, well, man, I wouldn't do that. What you talking about doing that? No, man, come on, man. I don't think you heard God right. You better go back down on your knees and see if you can talk to you again. That's what folks will tell you. God is not going to do things the way man likes to do things. It's not going to be done that way. There's many people missing their blessings today because they're not listening to what God is saying. God is in complete control of your life. He's working behind the scenes. He's arranging stuff. He's making a way where you don't see a way. You don't have to live worried, stressed out, trying to force anything to happen. All you got to do is keep God first. Y'all remember he talked about Joseph? Joseph, if Joseph had known all of that, I don't think Joseph would have done all of that. Earl, oh, no, 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 I ain't finna do that. No. If Joseph had known he was going to be thrown in that pit, he wouldn't have went seeking his brothers. Oh, no, daddy, I ain't going out there. We don't understand how God is going to do it. But then we want to help God out. What you need to understand is that God is protecting you where you're at the right place and meet the right person that wasn't designed to be there, but God is moving this person in the right place. Let me tell you something about the school. God lined us up to meet the right people in the right place. While we were frustrated here, and those who've been praying for frustrated here, but as time went on, it said, when God's timing come, everything is going to happen according to his plan. According to his plan. So what you have to understand is, don't say this word, lucky. It ain't lucky. It's Almighty God saying, I've got a destiny for you to fulfill. My plan will come to pass. You may not see this happen, but God will have a thousand ways to get you to where you need to go. Well, we're only thinking, well, there's only one way I can get there. And the one way that we try to get there is undermining folks. Talking about folks. But you don't see what God sees. I remember when I was first promoted on a job, the first thing that was said to me, said, you're going to get promoted on your job. The first thing that came out of my mouth was, oh, I don't see how I'm going to get that. This lady is more qualified than I am. But I didn't know that she was resigning. She didn't share that information with me. I wasn't privileged to know that information. So next thing you know, this lady resigned. She left. And guess what? It left it wide open for me. See, we don't see what God is doing. All we see is what we see right in front of us. And what I saw right in front of me was a lady who was more qualified than I was for this job. But what I didn't see was that God knew that this lady was resigning. And God touched the heart of the leaders to say, this young man been running rings around everybody on this job. Why don't just give it to him and let him wear himself out in that manager's position? Y'all see that? That's how things work. But we're looking, but see, if I go and talk to folks about this, guess what? You get discouraged because folks will start telling y'all, yeah, you're right. She is more qualified. I saw the degrees on the wall. You ain't going to get that, man. No, not with that one. No, not with that little degree. No, you ain't going to get it. But we don't know the power of God. Even when you don't have the courage to do what you know you're supposed to do, God won't leave you there. God will push you into your destiny, your divine destiny. God will push you out there some kind of way. Moses didn't want to do it, y'all. But some, you see how God got him to do it? God will push you into your destiny. Oh, you're going to get it. It may take a little while, but don't worry about it. What God is basically doing is letting people basically hang themselves. Just like God didn't want to anoint Saul, right? King Saul. But that's what the people wanted. God went ahead and did it. But God did that. But in doing that, Saul was messing up, right? So God let him really hang himself in a bad way. So what God did was God said, okay, this is the behind the scenes that we don't see, that Saul wasn't seeing. God went and got a little boy who was praising him and anointed him to be. And God said, in due time, that seed that I just planted right there, getting ready to come up. And it's going to be a powerful king for me. God said, it ain't ready yet, but it will be in due time and in due season. You have to understand that's the way it is with our life. In due time and due season, that blessing will come into your life. Not a minute early, not a minute late. It will come right on time. God is so good and loving, forgiving, even if he has to drag us, he'll still get us to our destiny. He's in complete control. He knew when we wouldn't have the faith, when we need a push. Sometimes we need that push to get it. I remember having a stick shift. And I got stranded, and I had end up calling the tow guy to come and get me, and the tow man, you know, hooked the car up to the tow truck. He looked underneath there. He said, "Hold up, this is a stick shift." He said, "Man," he put that car down, and he unhooked it. He said, "Man, get in this car." He said, "Now pop this thing." I said, "What you talking about?" He said, "I said, when I'm gonna push you, I want you to pop it." I said, "Okay." I said, he said, "Now," he pushed me. "Pop it." Car started. If you all don't drive a stick shift, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you drive a stick shift, you know what I mean by popping it. What I'm saying is some of y'all need a little push. And you're hearing from heaven that says, pop it. In other words, get it in gear and drive to your destiny. Basically what the tow man was saying, I'm trying to hook you up, but you don't need to be hooked up. All you need is to get in this car. And when I say pop it, I need you to pop it. And I need you to drive to your destination. So what I'm saying to you saints this morning, get inside the word of God. Sit down and pop it. Drive to your destination. And know that the Lord will meet you at your destination. He works in mysterious ways. He knows how to get people to like you better than you can do it yourself. Or he can do that better than you can. Folks that don't even like you, God can say, "Oh, I can make them like you." Oh, God said, "You ain't got to worry about that. Let me take care of that." See, when we try to make folks like, we do it the wrong way. But God said, "Oh, I'm going to make them like you. You ain't got to worry about that." God knows how to make it. In other words, how to make it happen in your life. Sometimes we get all worked up trying to make things happen. We get discouraged because somebody won't be our friend. You got to worry about that. We're working overtime trying to convince people, you know, to like us, trying to convince people to be with us. If somebody doesn't like you, don't take it personal. They're not a part of your destiny. They're not a part of what God is having for you to do. So what I'm saying is, if they don't like you, so what? Oh, I wish I could say, lick your tongue out at them, but that wouldn't be right. God, that wouldn't be right. Y'all got to pray for me. My grandfather be coming out of me sometime. Lord have mercy, my grandfather be coming out of me. make you want to lick your tongue out at them and dare them to do something, because you know what? They can't mess with you no more. You want to know why? Because they ain't no part of your destiny. They can't prohibit you from getting to where you need to go. That's why I want to say lick your tongue out at them, but the Lord would say that's not good. That's not good to do. I'm in the spirit on the Lord's day. That was me speaking right there. God has divine connection in your future. People that will celebrate you, want to be your friend, even go out of their way to be good to you. God got people, believe it or not, God got people lined up to do that. Let me tell you something. God can hide you in a time of trouble. If God can make a blind eye see, he can make a seeing eye blind. You can't tell me that God can't hide you in a time of trouble when they land off on your job and it don't come your way. Well, that's God. What he's doing is making a seeing eye blind. He ain't going to let them touch you. You got to believe that today. So God has it all lined up, big ways, small ways. God is in complete control. God is orchestrating this. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that God was telling them in this, I'm in control of this situation. You ain't got to worry about Lazarus. I know where he is. He's in care. I got this. That's what he was saying to him. 2016, I got this. Calm down. I remember seeing Kobe Bryant on the ball, on the basketball court. When it was clutch time, he said to his team, I got this. Michael Jordan was like, I got this. Jesus is saying, I got this. You ain't got to worry about it. I got this. There is always a go-to person on the ball field, somebody who you know that can come through when you need them to come through. In other words, when a big play is time, it's time for that person to step up and do what they normally do in situations like this under pressure. God is saying, I got this. God has a specific plan for your life, something for you to accomplish. You haven't made too many mistakes to God? No. That's to other folks. Let me tell you something. Try to run for president. I promise you, they're going to dig up everything that you have possibly done or could have done. I mean, they'll go back to grade school. You understand me? If they did me, they'd go back to daycare. They'll go back to daycare. When I got into it with that teacher, I said, man, she popped me one more time. Lord have mercy. Said, one more time. Can't take this daycare thing. So I ran away from it. That's a true story, y'all. Y'all laugh about that. That's true. I said, I can't handle this. Can't handle this. You ain't popping me no more. Because one more pop is going to be me popping you. My parents knew that. That's why they took me out. What I'm trying to get you to understand here, it's good to laugh, but the seriousness of this is that we got to believe that God can do it. I can preach and sweat up here, and I can run like somebody, ain't nobody chasing me. But when it's all said and done, man, you got to believe this in your heart. Without a shadow of a doubt, you can come here, get a good word from any one of these ministers. But I'm telling you, if you don't believe this in your heart, it ain't going to work for you. The word of God will work if you work it. There's a lot of people that ain't working it. It'll work it. I'm about ready to close, but I told this before, and it's worth saying again. When I got some rubbing compound to get something off my car, I took it back to the store. I said, man, I want my money back. I said, man, this stuff ain't working. Give my money back, man. He said, it'll work, man, but you got to work it. I said, I was. He said, no, man, you got to work it. And I said, well, I was working. He said, man, I'm telling you, this stuff will get it off. You got to work it. He said, it ain't like wax. I said, okay. He said, just try it, man. Trust me. He said, if you bring it back, give your money back. Took it back to the house, rolled up my sleeves. Man, I squatted down, got on that little bucket, started working that area, and I was sweating. I saw the progress. I saw it coming off. I said, oh, yeah. I said, the Lord was ministering to me. He said, so you got to work it. He said, just like you working that. He said, that's the way my word is. He said, my word works just like it. He said, you got to apply it. And you got to apply it real good. Then he said, you got to work it. And he said, it's going to make you sweat, but you got to keep working it. He said, you're going to get tired, but you got to keep working it. He said, it's going to frustrate you, but you got to keep working it. He said, it's going to make you mad, but you got to keep working it. He said, it's going to get you upset, but you got to keep working it. You got to keep working it. You got to keep working it. The enemy doesn't fight you where you are. He fights you where you're going. That's his problem. He don't mind you being right where you are, but it's where you're going. Where you're going, that's what he's fighting. You got to fight your way. You got to believe this. You got to work it. If you get tired, God give you another one. I'm not a lefty, but I can take my other hand and I can work it with this one. Let this one rest up a little bit. I can work it with this. And when this get tired, all I got to do is switch up, work it some more. Folks, you got to keep working it. As long as God has put breath in your body, God has given you activity of your limbs. God has given you the ability to walk. You got to work it.
Hey, go open up the doors.
Hallelujah. Look at somebody, tell them, say, you got to work it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That same issue on one of my cars. Old man told me, he said, man, rub it like you live hard. You got to work it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The doors of the church are now open. If you are in a place where you don't have a church home, you don't have to be homeless anymore. This is the place where you fit. Hallelujah. Is there one today who wants to be a part of this church family? We're praying for you. Hallelujah. And we'll welcome you in with open arms. Is there one? Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you today. Hallelujah. 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 Everyone stand. Everyone standing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. Yes. As we prepare to dismiss, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing, dear God, that rests in this place. We, dear God, ask that you would help us to apply your word to our hearts, according to your will. In the precious name of Jesus, be with us, dear God, as we depart from this place, but never from your divine presence, till we meet again at the appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen.